I stood in this park and I described to people that were here then the kind of pastor I was committed to being. I talked to people about the fact that I was a man that wanted to live his life for an audience of one. And I remember looking at puzzled faces at that time because it was a little bit of a new idea, not so much maybe you heard about it before or wondered what that might look like, but I kind of put myself out there and said, this is what I want to do. I want to live my life for an audience of one. That's the kind of pastor I have a heart to be. The second thing I made a point of is that I want to be a pastor that lives out and fulfills 2 Timothy 4, which says, essentially, fulfill your ministry by sharing the gospel and don't go to the right or to the left, stay the course and do it. And I shared those things that day. Then, in the same gathering, I said, this is the kind of people that I want to pastor. This is the kind of church I want us to become. And I described some of the attributes of that church. I used a description. Maybe if you were here then, in fact, I'd be curious, how many were here 22 years ago on that day? There are some hands, but that's very gratifying and very defeating to see so few of you here. The gratifying part is that there's a whole bunch of newer people here, so this might actually be a little bit of fresh news for you. But I use this description. I envisioned Grace Point. At that time, I said TFC because we used to be called Tigers First Baptist. And at that time, I said I envisioned a church filled with people where we would be known as a hospital for sinners. Not a hotel for saints. And I remember people kind of going, wow, that's something I'm interested in. I'm not sure what all you mean by that, but there's something about that that's attractive to me. I think for most of us, it's the idea that, oh, good, I can fit in here. Because I'm not all that I want to be or maybe even should be, but because I met Jesus or because I'm taking baby steps with Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. And that's a good thing, isn't it? So I remember saying those things back then. And of course, full disclosure, that was not a concept that was originated with me. To say, I dream of being a pastor of a church that's becoming a hospital for sinners, not a hotel for saints, was not something that originated with me. In the early innings of Jesus' ministry in Mark, he tells us that Jesus was very engaged with people. And among other things, he cast out, in a very short amount of time, demons. He healed a leper. He forgave a sinner. And then, this is probably the tipping point, he actually fraternized with a whole bunch of sinners. Alright? That managed to create not a small amount of resistance. It was a bother in a big way to the finger-pointing, rule-carrying, fist-pounding Pharisees. They were a group of people that were, they felt at least, called to make sure everybody lined up. Make sure everybody did what they defined to be the right thing. And it's at that point when, for different reasons, Jesus bothered them in no small way, Jesus said these words, the healthy don't need doctors, it's the sick. I didn't come to call the righteous, but the sinners. And I got to say to you, 22 years later, we're living up, in my opinion, to that building. We are a church that is humane to hurting people. If you're brand new, I'm giving you a little bit of a peek into life here at Grace Point. We are a church that's humane. We are a church that also is a place of hope. There's a lot of things in our world today that sort of take the heart out of life for lots of us. And you might feel like at this time or at a time recently, either you or somebody you know, the hope meter, sort of like a thermometer, it goes down. And we're a place that says, no, we believe in the God that says he's the God of all hope. And so part of our mission is to tell people about a God that can work things out. He can see you through the fire and the flood, as Isaiah said in chapter 43. He does that. We're a place also where healing happens, broken relationships, broken lives. And I love this the most. We're a home. We're a place you can actually call home. I think you're going to experience that more, hopefully, today. But I have a question. This happens to be, of course, the 4th of July weekend. Remnants from the camp. And of course, yesterday we gathered to celebrate and to commemorate our country. And lots of people in lots of places made statements about America. In fact, I love my favorite song, and I'll sing it for you if you'd like. I'm proud to be an American, though at least I know I'm free. You know, it goes on, right? As far as you're getting from me. But here's the deal. I would love for you to shout them out. What makes you proud to be an American? Okay, don't go negative on me. Just what makes you proud to be an American? Freedom. Balance of power. Wow, that's deep. That's good. Opportunity. What was that? Choices. Okay. Being able to serve. Right. Said a military veteran. Thank you, sir. And to all you veterans. What else? To pray openly. Y'all, I prayed this earlier, but it's not to be ignored or trifled with. We are in a public place. You can't do this everywhere. Who knows how long we'll be able to do it here. But that's one of those attributes. So I thought in the same way, because it's a weekend where we're talking in sort of terms about our nation, let's talk for a second, and maybe I can frame it as a question. What's it mean, what's it like to be Grace Point? If you were, right now, imagining yourself at lunch, just in the break room at work or, out in the yard, wherever you happen to work at a shop that has an outdoors, you can go out for fresh air and have lunch or something. Some place where you're across the table or sitting next to somebody casually and saying, hey, I like my church. I like Grace Point because. Fire those off, just out loud, anything. I'm sorry? Support? Family. Acceptance, what was that? Somebody said keep it real, or real?
Christ-like.
Wow. Loyalty. Support? Oh, thank you, Jim. I knew if I asked and waited long enough, I would do it. Pastor support, what's that? It's a helpful church. Yep. Not. Welcoming. Right on. I love that. Is that Carrie Ann? And Carrie, stand up real quick. Wave at all you new Adoring fans. Carrie is from California, and like most of us, came up from California to get out of the heat. Yeah, that worked. That worked. Carrie, you are here for how long now? 5 weeks. Ray, thank you, Carrie. Ray, stand up real quick. Stand up. And Ray, with you and your family last week, first Sunday. So we did something right. How many are in your family? 9. Our church just grew last week by 9. Thank you, Ray. Thank y'all. It's so good. Meet them afterwards. They're cool people. They're honest. It's good. So welcoming. I love that. Anything else that you would say? What did you say? Concise. Okay, page 3. Here we go. I thought about our new name. Okay, it's not really new anymore. But Grace Point Community Church. We call it Grace because that's the starting point. That's what brings us salvation. Titus 2:11 says the grace of God appeared, bringing salvation, making a salvation pitch or offer to all people. That's where grace comes from in our name. Point. Well, guess what? This won't surprise you, but it might connect the dots for you. We point people to Jesus. If you look at the front of the bulletin every week, it says pointing people to Jesus. That's on purpose. Grace Point, we point people to Jesus, as Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, fixing our eyes on who? Him, Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. That's the one he gives credit not only for starting our journey, salvation, but for completing it, carrying it on to completion. Community. That's a big one. We're described by many metaphors in the Bible. We're described as a body, a physical body with many parts. We're described as a family. And Ray and his family is a good example. There's lots of variety. There's mom and a dad, and then there's a whole bunch of children. And that's what the church is about. It's described appropriately as a body and as a family. We're also known as a flock. And each one of those is a picture of community. One of the things I love to do in premarital counseling with couples, and I did it again just this week with a couple of couples, was talking to them about the most fundamental shift that takes place when you go from single to married. And I put it in these pronouns so it's easy to remember. You will go from me to we. And I think that's probably a pretty good picture of the church, that analogy. We go from me, you came here maybe alone, maybe as a small family, as a couple, as a single person. You came as me, and in time, you're going to define yourself more and more in terms that I think bring pleasure to Jesus. We're part of you, it's we, it's us. You probably all can see this. Anybody shout it out, what is this? Jenga. How many play Jenga at home? How many have ever seen one this big? Alright? Well, thank you to John Leonard who makes this. Tells me John has a lot of free time. But anyway, John, this is really cool. I reached out to John and said, hey man, we could use this because Jenga, classic Jenga, 18 levels high, 54 pieces. And Jenga starts out as a solid block. And Jenga, the idea here is you start to remove pieces of it, and hopefully it stays standing. And then you move another piece out. You haven't got a lot left above that line. You might come down here, or maybe not. And you pull off another piece. And it keeps going like this for a while. It's kind of fun, kind of daring and exciting all at once. And let me see if I can get a couple more out of here. You're all sweating to death and I'm having fun, but playing a game. Let me go that way through it. These little guys seem to want to go. And it can keep going like this for a while, but eventually, and before it falls, how's she looking? Kind of weak, right? Well, here's an interesting thing. If you keep doing this, the game ends, of course, when the tower falls. If you come, clear down and start to remove some pretty serious and important, I could ask Doug Wynn, my best friend architect, and he would tell you about the danger. I sense I'm in a place I shouldn't be right now. Okay, so we're just going to leave that like that. All right? Now, the great picture of a negative I want us to avoid. If you start pulling out pieces, each Each one of these represents who? Sheila. This represents a person. Bring it back. So, he's like, what am I supposed to do with this? Here's the deal. Every one of these blocks represents one of us. And they work best when they're woven together in an interconnected way. But if not, things start to teeter. Okay? That's not real security. Y'all are going to be just holding your breath for the next few minutes, aren't you? So the deal is, as a church, each of us is one of these pieces. Okay? And we do play, even though sometimes we don't sense it maybe or know it completely, we play a vital role in the success and the health of what's called Jenga today, our church community. You play an important role. You might not even be able to identify your piece or your part, but you got one, right? So we are a church. Great point. We're a community. And then fourthly, we're a church. We're not a club and we're not an order. We are something more than that. We are a group of imperfect people who responded to an invitation by Jesus to come and be a part of something that he promised in his own words, he will not quit building until the day he comes back for his people. That's where Grace Point Community Church comes from. So I want to encourage you, if you are just now starting or you've been here for a while, take a look again at your involvement. Take a look again at the need to lead shift. And ask yourself today, am I a little more me than I should be? Because I want to be a part of something that's significant. I want to play my role. I want to contribute. I want to be involved in a meaningful way. Last thought. Solomon. He saw life with more insight and more wisdom than anybody before or since. And Solomon described somebody in his late life journal known as Ecclesiastes. He described somebody I think most of us know. Listen to his words. There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. His life was his work and his love was his wealth. He could never do enough and never had enough, and he, being all alone, was miserable. It's out of Ecclesiastes 4. I hear those words even now, and I thought about them since I pinned them. That's no way to live, is it? You know, you've got all the work you can handle, all the wealth you can manage, and yeah, you're alone. Today is a wonderful response. It's a repudiation to aloneness. At its core, why do we come out here? And there's a ton of people that have helped put this together. Why all the effort? Because we're committed to saying no to alone. Jesus, or God said it right at the beginning, very first negative words in the created world that he came up with was, it's not good to be alone. So his answer is, those words aren't just, you know, appropriate to marriage or limiting relationships. It's all the unlimited possibilities that exist in a gathering like ours, Jesus. So the answer to alone is community. Thoreau once said, the mass of men live lives of quiet desperation. You don't have to show me your hand, but I'll bet with the last week or month, most of us could say there are moments along the way when I felt quietly, no one knew it, but I felt quietly desperate. I was hurting. I was a hurting unit. No one knew it. Can I go out on the limb? I just described me. That's not scolding anybody. That's just simply being honest and telling you it's not all, I'm not just always on my game. There are times when my dauber's down, when my sense of passion is waning. And I say, God, what's this all about? Talk to me, show me, direct me. The mass of men, Thoreau said, and I don't want to give him too much credit because he's human author, but he said the mass, that means the majority, a lot of people live lives like that, quiet desperation. You know somebody like that? I don't know of a better response and an answer, an antidote, than togetherness. That's what today is all about. We want to be together, and today marks the beginning of something that we're going to do the rest of the summer. We're going to talk about what wisdom God had in mind when he came up with community, with a church. Why didn't he just say, hey, come to me, find new life in me, and knock yourself out, have a good time, and I'll see you at the end. But he said, no, I want you to come to me, and then I want to connect you with more people, family, a team, a group, a body. I want to connect you in such a meaningful way that I can do some of the things in you that can't happen on your own. And that's what the staff, the pastors in the coming weeks, we're going to each take some time and not just talk to you about things like bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2, or encourage one another, 1 Thessalonians 5. All of those we get. Those are easy. Those are obvious. But we want to go behind and beyond and say, why? Why do I need to bear your burden? Why do you need to bear my burden? What is God's wisdom telling us? So there's going to be some fun times ahead. Listen to these final words. Two people are better off than one, so they can help each other succeed. One person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. Who needs that on a day like today, right? But how can one be warm alone? Oh, I'll tell you how. Like, stand up here for me. A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So this summer, starting actually in 2 weeks, we're going to finish our last series Entrusted next Sunday at church. And then the rest of the summer into early September, we're going to talk about a new kind of, we're calling it strings attached. Because the Bible says a cord of three strands, that's you, me, and Keith. Right? That is the idea in the coming weeks, and that's the purpose of Country Sunday. I hope if you're brand new here today, and you saw some people wave and they remember being here 22 years ago, like I do, that you'll find enough reason to say, I'm going to connect, and not just in time. I hope you leave here today going, you know something, I came knowing no one, and I met the sheriff and the outlaw. So you get credit for two people if you come say hi to me, all right? God, we love you. Thank you for the great reality that you tell us about in your word. Thank you for the vulnerable kind of the humility that comes with saying, I need you. I need help. Can you help me? And God, all that's true of you, that's of course, but very often the delivery system you choose is another person, a brother or a sister, a member of the body, a family. And I pray that today every one of us wouldn't just look for someone to reach to us and say, hi, tell me your name, but we would reach to them and say, hey, tell me a little bit about yourself and help these strands to get connected, because indeed, as you would put it, there are strings attached, necessarily. And we pray that today some of that would happen. In the wonderful name of your son, who pulls that stuff off for us. We pray.